Today's episode is part two of talking all about me, Benny, on Chris Asking Benny Questions. Benny Asking People Questions is proudly supported by Major Minor Music Australia, who wish to thank the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation on whose lands we meet here today and do all our work. Always was, always will be. If you'd like to know more, then head along to mmma.com.au.
Can we just really quickly talk about Major Minor Music and the awards?
Yes.
Because alongside you being an incredible songwriter, ARIA nominated, and beloved by children around the world, I think there is something happening on your home turf in Australia that is super special, that people are cottoning on to. And I, for one, have been so privileged to have been able to come over for the last 2 years and see the Major Minor Music Awards in action. And just to see the difference between year one and two has been phenomenal. I mean, last year was a whole different beast, bigger, brighter.
Yeah, it was a nice last year. Way.
I'm not to say that the first one wasn't special, because it was, and there was a lot of love in the room and people realizing what was now possible. You know, artists had come from around Australia. So why have you tried to unify the children's music industry in Australia?
Well, largely because of you lot again over there in New Zealand. I mean, I really did spend quite a long time, like people sort of don't realize, but I actually spent quite a long time studying, you know, Kiwi Kids and Arthur Basting and it was really, truly because I couldn't believe the music that was coming out of there. I was just going, what's the deal with the music? The music's insane. It's so good. And I was trying to work out, like, I think it was when I first heard Claudia, it was, Claudia to me was this first example I'd ever really gone, man, this is not something I would imagine is for children. And I was like, I was thinking, is it resonating? I find it hard to believe that this is actually resonating. And then I'd sort of, the more I look into it, like, she's actually really popular. And her music's like her music. I mean, for those people at home, my face was like going, I mean, what's going on? She's popular. No, but like, it was. Because there is a fine line, and I run the risk of it, of just forgetting that you actually are doing it for children and wanting to be so out there that you stop actually really creating music for children. But I looked at what Claudia was doing. He's going, oh, my goodness, it works. And then, you know, met music with Michael and the more people I met, I was just going, what's going on over here? Because these people, you're all doing really well, but your music's very different. And I realized it was the fact that you were all together. You actually, you know, and I don't buy into that. A lot of people kind of pass New Zealand off as like, well, it's smaller and it's easier. And I actually think it's harder if it's smaller. If it's bigger, it's easier because no one has to actually be in the room with each other. You just go, yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. And I think part of that too is also, and then just looking over here and going, what's missing? Why is the industry not? And look, I'm also early childhood. I've spent my entire career with my shoes off, and also convincing parents that their children are so much brighter than what they think. And so, you know, when you put all of that together, it was just it's a bit of a no-brainer that I would get a bit of a bee in my bonnet that the industry just wasn't as supportive as it could be over here. And anyway, really, it's anywhere around the world. It's certainly not fixed. But for me, it was just the recognition. Awards just seemed like the obvious thing. I just sort of looked more at the ARIAs and went, and then I'd speak to people that were quite intimately involved in it. And they're like, oh yeah, it's never, you know, it's not part of the show. It's all this and this and this. And I was just like, wow, it's really just tacked on. And then of course, from there, I was like, well, there's so many other genres and things like that. So many other avenues of children's music. They're just best albums seems a bit defunct. But at the time, we went for the APRA award, and I knew Lorna from Kindling had been talking to APRA about an APRA award. I knew Justine Clark had been walking around, and sort of there was, and I just went, we're just not big enough. We're simply not big enough to three of us do this. Let's all just come together and do it. And look, and I have to say, it's really just snowballed. I think it's a bit, I think, you know, and you look at what last year's was, 2023 compared to 2024, and I'm still working really hard about how to get more children in there. It's a bit tricky, that one, because there's still a lot of discussion around that. But I really just don't think we knew what beast it was going to be. And like I said to you just before we started, I'm now having to create this non-for-profit with DGR status so that we can do this, and because it's huge. It's too big now. It's like it's just snowballed. And the people that are contacting me, I'm just like, oh my goodness, why is this person ringing me? Like,
we've got everything we need to be happy. We can help the world to breathe.
Every night, and I think all of it is just. And it's the same with the podcasts. It's the same with the gap-filling notion of the albums. All of it really honestly. And this kind of sounds really cliche, but I guess, you know, as my friend says, cliche are cliches for a reason. But it is really honestly to make sure children get better stuff. That's really actually what it is. And I know that sounds a bit, I don't know, it sounds a bit trite and a bit predictable, but that's what it is. It's just like if the artists are more respected and feel valued and feel listened to and feel like their work they make has meaning and is recognized, then they will just keep making it and they'll make better music. And then the more music that's made, then the more choice there is for children, and then there's more, and just gives them a wider thing. And that then provides this opportunity where children have this choice that reflects their own intelligence and their own thing. And bang, all of a sudden you've got all these really competent children with agency running around going, yeah, I can, this speaks to me. This is what I like. And it's a really hard thing for people to get their heads around, that I don't promote myself when I'm promoting Marv. And, you know, like I was talking about taking bands to America, and someone said, well, you'll go and perform. And I said, well, not really. I said, I'll go. I said, but I'm not going to perform. And they're just like going, what? Yeah, what's it? That's just silly. Why wouldn't you do it? And it's really difficult for people to understand. And I totally respect that. But everyone's going to know Benny Time anyway. It's like, let's not kid ourselves. It's not like I'm a hidden mystery behind this thing that's happening. But I just, it's really, and it's like I'm whispering it so like no one can hear. I don't know why, but it really is for kids. It's for children. And it's not about children liking me. It's about children waking up and just having a world that's a bit more aware of what they're capable of. That's really what it is. And an industry is only going to be as strong as its support, right? Any industry on the face of the earth is only going to be as strong as the love and affection and attention it gets. You know,
and you're doing that. Yeah, I love it. No one else has stood up to do it.
How strong are we when we lift together? How great we are. How great we are.
also think that, so, like, just as this song says, like, you coming to the awards and then me going and then now you and Claudia and Lucy coming over and then, you know, now Angie and I planning to go back over. There's something much more beautiful about that than just, hey, we're going to come over as well. Woo-hoo. I think there's this, what it does is it just also says, again, it's just like, we're just so much stronger together and bigger. And I mean, again, I feel, I don't know, it all feels very cliche, but it's the truth of it. And, you know, and I do this podcast with people in the States and it's the same thing. I'm having the same conversations with people over there. And I just think, man, we're all just this, we're just this tiny little bridge away from being a movement. I don't know, but like we're just one or two decisions away from just being this really massive power around the world. I don't know. I have no idea what that is, and that sounds very grandiose. And I'm not suggesting for a second it's me, but I just think we're just one of those industries. We're one of those industries where we've all been very disparate for a very long time, and it's just shrinking, and it's kind of shrinking really quickly, and it's been really amazing. And I think the success of Mar is less to do with myself or Lorna or Lisa or Justine or any of that. I just think everybody was needing it. I think everyone was ready for it, and we just happened to roll it out at the right time, and which I'm incredibly grateful for, because, you know, maybe if we didn't do it, it wouldn't have happened. But you know, it's a classic right time, right place, I feel.
Yeah. And look, I appreciate the amount of time that's gone into putting these events on, because it's a full-time job. It's one awards event, but you've been bringing these people together for a long, long time. And there is something so magical about being in the room with other people for you know, the betterment of the world of children. That's essentially what our awards are about too. That's why we feature so many children. That's why we've just here in New Zealand.
And that's what our music's about. It's the other thing.
Yeah.
Everything we do is for that.
Making kids' worlds better. Yeah. And for the first time, the Kiwi Kids Music Trust and APRA New Zealand have just announced a new award for children here in New Zealand.
Oh, amazing.
Best performance by a child of an original song.
Oh, really?
And that could be vocal or non-vocal, so it could be an instrumental as well. So we're now looking to the kids and saying, hey, here's opportunities for you to make the music that you're making and be acknowledged for it and bringing them in. So I see the power in creating an award ceremony, and ours has been going for a few years longer than yours, but I already see the potential in yours to be much, much greater, because your artists pool over there is much larger. We are a relatively small group over here in New Zealand doing things, but just to see it was almost every seat full in the theatre last year, and how wonderful.
Well, that's the weird thing about the having children. I've had conversations, and a lot of people actually go, no, let's not have kids there, because it's our one chance to not have to dress up in our costumes. We can all just hang out and be ourselves with everyone else. And I did kind of go, oh, no, wait, I understand, but maybe there's a way to, you know. But anyway, I think we just love ourselves. We're just a bit more egotistical over here, so we just want everything to be a bit bigger and flashier. That's what we do.
My name is Pirate Jim, and I hear you want to be a pirate with a great black flag sailing on the sea. Well, if you want to be a pirate, there are some things you ought to know. And if you stand at attention now, I'll show you how they go. You must climb the rope.
I'm very grateful for your work with Major Minor Music, and I know a lot of people out there would express the same thing if they were interviewing you, because it's been an absolute game changer, Benny. You finally have an industry with many united people as opposed to segmented, and we've all been there. We've all come from that point of you know, being at a gig with someone else who's on the right on the same bill as you, and perhaps being a little bit standoffish or being a little bit unsure about how to work in with other artists who are in the same space as you. I've certainly experienced a lot of that, and it just sucks. It's not how things should be. If you're under the umbrella of children's music, that's a great place to be. That's an industry you want to be collaborating in, because you are all just trying to make children's worlds better. So why not unite on that? And just to also acknowledge the wonderful Arthur Basting, who you've mentioned already, who was really the grandfather of children's music here in New Zealand, and with Peter Dacent, who I will claim as a Kiwi in this podcast. Even though he is Australia's number one pianist for play school. We can't acknowledge, I can't not acknowledge Peter and Arthur, and particularly Arthur's work in setting up Kiwi Kids Music here and trying to unite us. And in fact, the first event he had for us way back in, I think it was 2007, was awful. And we wouldn't talk to each other. He wanted us to, but we were also in competition with each other. It took many, many years for him to kind of get us together. So good on you for shortcutting all that stuff and just getting straight to the unity. So,
my name is Benny. My name is Benny. And I'm going to the shop to buy an apple. Your name is
Frankie.
Your name is Frankie. And you're going to the shop to buy
raspberries.
And I'm going to the shop to buy an apple. Your name is
Maddie.
Your name is Maddie.
We've been going for quite some time, over an hour now.
Oh my goodness, okay.
And I still had a couple of questions I just wanted to ask you. And it's more stuff to do with your personal journey that you've been on recently with health and how you feel that's affected your creativity. And is there anything within that journey that you feel like has been shaping the way you write music?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's definitely made me braver, I guess. Braver just from the perspective of going, this is kind of what I want to happen, and I just have to do it. Like I can't compromise now. And I think that's probably the biggest lesson. I can't compromise on the things that I think are important. And that's in everything. That's in my relationship with my children, my relationship with my health, my relationship with the music, with major minor music. All of it is there's no compromise anymore. And it's funny, again, talking about having to shift the way major minor music is managed and turn it into a whole separate entity. I was talking to someone about it the other day, and I sort of had that realization. I said to them, well, you know, it's just what it is, right? Just because it has to happen. And they were sort of like, they didn't say don't do it, but they were like going, oh, it just feels like it's too much, right? And I was like, well, yeah, but the option, there's not an option to not do it now. And there's not even, what's strange is with everything now, every single aspect of my life, there's not an option to do your best and see how it goes. That's not an option anymore. It's not an option for me. For something not to happen anymore, it can't be because of me. It has to be because of something else. So for example, with this children's book, you know, I'm incredibly aware that there'll be a point that there may or may not be a point, but there'll be a point where someone goes, you know, well, I just go, well, you know what? Everyone has said no, it's not going to happen. But it can't be because I didn't do all the things sensibly and intelligent. I'm not talking about drive. They're different things. I'm not talking about drive. I'm just talking about what are the things I want to do that are going to bring me joy. And I think that's what it is. It's what brings me joy. And I think a lot of people have this misconception where they go, oh, you're doing so much stuff and you're always doing all this stuff. And I go, I appreciate that potentially from the outside it looks like that. But it's all joy. If you really break all those things down, I'm not doing anything I'm not enjoying. Like, what am I doing? You've got Major Minor Music. Greatest thing ever. Greatest, like, what a tremendous way to spend your day. What's the other thing? Are you making a new album? What? Seriously, you're going to look at me and go, that's work? What else are you doing? Oh, well, I'm trying to get this kid's book, this children's picture book published. Like, hello? You know, what else are you doing? You know, I've make film clips for people. Like, stop me if any of this stuff doesn't sound like something that brings joy. And, you know, I think that's kind of what happened. I guess that's what's changed. Is there's just got to be an uncompromising pursuit of joy. And joy will diminish, I feel, will diminish if I stop. If I don't bring as much to it as I can, I guess.
Five big sausages sizzling in the pan. One went pop, one went bam. Four big sausages sizzling in the pan. One went pop, one went bam. Three big sausages sizzling in the pan. One went pop, one went bam. Two big sausages sizzling in the pan. One went pop, one went. One big sausage.
And I think that it's. This is a secret between you and I and everyone that listens to this. But I have this thing that I've hit on where people talk to me about the health and you know, look, it was awful. You know, they said you got 50% chance of dying within a year. And obviously Joe and I went into this sort of total breakdown, grieving, grief period and understandably it's awful. And every year they keep saying you've got 50% chance of getting through the year. And I slowly starting to understand what they mean now. It's not quite meaning you have literally 50% chance of dying. It's like the thing that's going to get you could come any day now. We don't know when that is. And it's funny. I say to people more and more now because I'm caring less about what people think. It has genuinely been the best thing that's ever happened to me. And people find that really uncomfortable to hear. Now, does that mean I'm glad I'm sick? No, that's just ridiculous. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that pursuit of joy and pursuit of wanting to give the most I can give something, that's only happened because I got ill. It's the only reason it's happened. And I'm kind of really... really grateful for that. I'm really grateful because I also don't. Oh, I was thinking how deep we want to go.
As deep as you want.
Yeah. When you're told something about, I often think about when you get to into your twilight years, and you know how many people just kind of go, "I'm done. I'm going to die." And, you know, they're 90 and they just go off and shut their eyes and do it. And I guess the only thing I've learned is there is a point where you realize that that is an enormous possibility and you have to accept that that is probably what's coming. And when that happens, it's not even about having any epiphanies or anything. You just kind of go, oh, well, I've just got to make peace with that. I've just got to deal. Like I can't do anything about that. So I just, what's the option? The option is just to go, okay, well, how do I feel about that? How's that sit with me? And I think from that perspective, what it made me do is just go, all right, well, if that's the case, screw not doing things I enjoy. That doesn't make sense. Why, like hypothetically, if I've got 3 more years, which, you know, I'm not, I suspect I have much more than that. But, you know, if that's the case, what am I going to do? Go and do a crappy job and work for someone else? That doesn't make any sense. It's just pointless. Like what an absolute astronomical waste of your remaining time. And then you kind of go, well, what if I've got 40 years left? Still not interested in doing something that isn't enjoyable.
Good morning, my beautiful child.
I do think there's an aspect, I think creatively it's just made me go, you know, I think He Needs to Wee is a really good example of just really going, no, that's what I want. And I think that's hysterical. And I think it's really funny. And I also think the Do song, like someone said to me, no one sings on the Do song. Like no one actually, you've got all these people and no one sings a song. And I'm like, I know, right? How funny is that? I think that's the greatest thing I've ever done is have, you know, some of Australia's greatest children's performers all on the one track, and it's the longest track I've ever released, and none of them sing on it. Like, I mean, they do, sure, they sort of do, but like
they have their own little
but no one's singing vignette. No one's singing a song. Yeah. It's not like a collaboration or a duet or anything. It's just a bunch of people telling me how to sing a song. And, you know, and a few people have said, oh, you know, you had access to these people. You should have brought. I went, no, I did exactly what I wanted. And I think it's amazing. I think it's hysterical. So, yes, that's probably the answer to that one. It's just made me really go. And like this album, which I've said to you, it was about taking these bands and this incredible band and going, here's a handful of songs. They're designed to be me jamming in the backyard. I'm not going to tell you how to play. I want you to just bring whatever you want to bring to this, and we're going to go and record it, and we're going to do it in 2 days, and I don't want to do any overdubs. There's some other things we have to do, but I said I don't want anything on this album that we can't walk on stage and do live. And, you know, in that process there's been, oh, what if we add it? I go, no, because that's not the point. It's not the point of it now. It's just, I don't know. Yeah, I think just the joy. What joy is it bringing me? And I'm more ambitious. I think I'm just more ambitious as a songwriter as well.
It's pushing you, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, thank you for your honesty on that one. It was one I wanted to just shine a light on, because some of the people listening will know that you've had the journey with your health that you've had. And like myself, are curious about how you're doing and also how it's inspiring you to produce the amazing music you do. So thank you for being honest and open about that.
Thanks for asking.
You mentioned performing live. What do you love about performing live?
I love live now more now. I don't like when it's just me and a guitar. I've actually really just officially I'm not going to do that anymore. It's too exhausting. I can't remember half of anything. I get really, it's quite strange. I get really, the last one I did, I went on after the Tiptoe Giants, and not a great band to go on afterwards because they're so rehearsed and precise and exact. And I just went on and just was like the heat and the exhaustion. I just didn't even know where I was, and I just sort of pushed my way through it. But then I did the one recently at the zoo with the band, and I didn't play an instrument, and I just got to roll around on stage and just be a tool. And it was amazing. And I was listening to the new album yesterday in the car, and all I could think of was like, oh, it's amazing. I'm going to make all these massive tree helmets that we can all wear. And then all of a sudden I'm like going, oh, and what if – actually, they start playing this song and then they call me and then I come out with just an unnecessarily massive peacock costume. Like all of a sudden all that kind of theatre element came back because I'm not playing, and I really love not playing. I really love it. There is something so freeing about it because I can do the bit up and down on stage. It's when I have to start playing guitar as well, I kind of panic and I concentrate too much. But if I have to do that, and when you're supported by the musicians that I have, that you're just like, you know, they go, how long is that going to go for? And I go, until I get up off the floor. And then when I get up off the floor, that's probably when the chorus will start, I guess. And they're all just like, yeah, sure, whatever. That's fine. We can do that. And just
the... How long are you going to walk around the stage looking like a peacock or an emu or any other bird?
What do you want us to play?
To be?
Yeah, you've got that song down. We're doing a 40-minute set. You've only got three songs listed. Yeah, the first one's going to be there for a long time. It's a hell of a costume.
We're doing a live crossover of the Do song.
He's like, this is a via Zoom. This is a proper costume that you wait till you see it. But I think just that it's just a chance to be really. Like I said right at the start, it's just a chance to be chaotic and be a lunatic and be, you know, that enjoyment of madness, you know, I'm refinding it now with the band. I'm really enjoying the band, and I think it's given me a new love for performing live. Back in the day when I was doing solo shows, it was just to see that kid enjoying it. I mean, every show I ever did was always just me down off the stage immediately and on my knees with the kids playing. I'm coming from an early childhood world. It made no sense being on the stage to me. It made no sense. I used to say all the time, where's the stairs so the kids can go? Oh, the kids can't go on stage. I said, well, I'm coming down because I just don't. Yeah. It just didn't make any sense. It had made no sense to me not to do that. Made no sense. And that's
every sound person's nightmare.
Yeah, totally. You know? Yeah, exactly. And that's why also with the guitar, I could do it on my own with the guitar because every song went forever as ever long it needed to go. And like I'd do something like I can be any animal and I'd ask a child, what do you want to be? And then before I knew, I'm just asking every single child to have a go. And that song goes for 20 minutes. They don't care. They're loving it. I mean, everyone gets a turn. And but then I can do that now with the band because the band's that good that I can just do that with them and they can just keep playing until it's finished.
Well, I can be any animal that I want, as loud as a lion or as quiet as a mouse. I can stomp like an elephant, stomp, 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 swim like a crocodile through the swamp, hop like a kangaroo, hop, hop, hop. I can be any animal that I want to be.
Yeah, I think I'd love to have an answer like, I love the looks on the children's faces when they're delighted in the tune, or I love to see parents and children have their time together and dance, but it's just so I can be a lunatic, really. That's what I like and about life.
Live your best Monty Python life.
Basically, yeah.
Well, Benny, is there anything else you want to talk about that we haven't covered?
Well, I'm very grateful for everything you've done for me, Chris, and you have been an enormous inspiration in just making sure all this stuff happens. And whether you know it or not, yourself and Lucy and Claudia and Susie have, whether you may not know this, but have been big posts for me to lean on in the last couple of years, which I've been doing surreptitiously or quite openly, but I am grateful. And I'm also really grateful for you doing this today because I don't enjoy it just because, I don't know, there's much better stuff out there than me. So, and
you got better things to do than talk about yourself. I appreciate you being open and honest, and I thank you for your thanks. But honestly, it's an absolute pleasure working with you, alongside you, and being able to have that friendship on the other side of the ocean work out so beautifully well. And I'm looking forward to getting over to Sydney again this year to support you. I was going to say, honestly, it's so lovely that you've allowed this to happen, because I know people out there have been gleaning information from your podcast about you, but you are a luminary in the world of children's music.
Thank you.
Both now and in the future. And I really appreciate you being willing to go on the record and talk about your journey, because we want to know and we want to be able to appreciate you in all your layers. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me on Chris Asking Benny Questions.
If you'd like to know more about me, then head along to bennytime.com. And of course, for more Chris Lamsam goodness, head along to chrislamsam.com. Thanks for joining me, Benny, on Chris Asking Benny Questions.